Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Terraists. Welcome to the Terra Show.
It's the Terra Show.
American Girl. Live and local on 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station.
Lee, you so rarely see something that's such a bombshell it changes everything.
True.
Like just rips across the political landscape, or it should, and changes all the assumptions. What have we been hearing since Barack Obama? I mean, I got it for my whole political life, but it's been more intense in recent years. The gap between the rich and the middle class is growing. It's your gap between the rich and the rest is just growing, and we need to make that fair. We need to redistribute. We need to have institute a system of fairness for all. And they have said, I've heard this many times, the middle class is shrinking, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Right? Okay. And that's true. It is shrinking. But this new report that has come out from the U.S. Census Bureau, and they do economic snapshots, is jaw-dropping. You've got to see this chart. Because there's an important thing the media sort of like forgot to tell you. The middle class has shrunk since 1967. 53.8% of Americans were middle class in 67. Today, it's just 41%, 41.7. Wow, that's bad. No. Well, where'd they go? Into the upper middle class. You mean they didn't go down to... No, poverty shrunk in this country from 37% of the population to 27%. So you mean the middle class didn't fall into the low? No. Since 1967, no, they didn't. There's been staggering growth in the upper middle class. In 1967, 9% of the country was upper middle class. That was a rare thing to be. Today, it's not so rare. 30%. What's upper middle class? $100,000 or more for a family of four. So you're looking at the timeline. This is like, you know, more than my whole life, right? What have we heard? The gap is growing. Lie. Shrinking.
Maybe that's what they mean by truth over facts.
The truth is what you feel and the facts are, well, irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm putting this up on my Facebook page. You got to see it. It is a monument to American ingenuity and prosperity that we have taken since 1967. The percentage of, in 1967, the percentage of Americans who were effectively poor was almost 40%, 37. It's down to 27 today. Again, the middle class, 1967, 53% were middle class. Today it's 41%, but that's only because so many people have moved into the upper middle class. That has been, look at this, Lee. This is the biggest growth in this country has been people moving from the middle class to the upper middle class. Not rich to the upper middle class. Isn't that what we all want to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just 9% of the population in 1967 was upper middle class. That's $100,000 or more. And they've adjusted the income, obviously.
And guess what that's based on? That's based on the hard work of the individuals who did that. Not government programs, not subsidies, but the hard work of those people who earned more money by working harder and longer.
Yes, but something else is going on here. And I want to point it out because we have just seen this massive boom, right, that in the Trump years that has been since the tax cut. And I have always credited the corporate tax cut with that. Now, let's go back and look. Okay, so let's go back to the 60s, right? Pretty abysmal time. I mean, almost 40% of the country is poor, right? I think God wouldn't live that way today. Okay, so what has allowed this upward momentum? Because it's been since 1967. Mark Perry, a professor and economist, has pointed out that these trends of people shrinking middle class because people are moving into the upper middle class, that has accelerated during the Trump years. But overall, since the 1960s, we've had Democrats in charge, we've had Republicans in charge. What has changed dramatically that we have seen so much growth, the shrinkage of the percentage in poverty, the growth of the middle and upper middle class? What have we seen? Okay, let's go back to the 50s and 60s. What was the top income tax rate, 50s and 60s, do you know?
Not off the top of my head because I wasn't paying taxes at that time.
Either. I had to look it up. 91%.
Good. That was the top tax rate? Wow.
Yep. Today, the top tax rate's 43.4.
which is still ridiculous, but
yes, it's
better
ridiculous.
Than 91%.
But we've seen what happens when you lower the corporate tax rate in the Trump year, just a little bit, and you lower the income tax rate, just unbelievable booms.
Well, every time
yes.
that you lower the overall income tax rate, you wind up increasing the amount of money to the revenue. That happens every time. It happened under JFK. It happened during Reagan's tenure. It happened during Bush. And it's happening during Donald Trump's tenure.
So let's go back and look. Let's go back to 1967. Let's look at what has happened to the country since then. We've had some Democrats in charge, some Republicans in charge. We've had some recessions. We've had some bad times. We've had some good times. But overall, let's look at the whole thing, 1960s. For the 1964 tax year, the top marginal tax rate for individuals was lowered to 77%, down from 91, okay? And then 70% for the tax years 65 through 81. In 1978, income brackets were adjusted for inflation, so fewer people were taxed at high rates. The top marginal rate was lowered to 50% for the years 82 to 86. So what we're looking at this chart, right? And what has happened here has been a gradual lowering of income tax rates. Look at the boom. Look at what it's done for people's lives, regardless of race. Again, the Democrats say, we got to fix it, got to redistribute, got to make it fair. We're going to have to raise taxes on everybody. Oh, so we want to go back to 1967 when 40% of the population was poor? Do you want to do that? Because I don't want to do that. I like it better today when just 27% is. You want to go back to when we had a growing middle class, not a shrinking one, and we have a shrinking middle class again. This is unbelievable census chart because people are moving from the middle class to the upper middle class. I mean, look at this, Lee. You want to know what getting the government out of the way and slashing taxes does? This one stat says it all. 1967, 9% of the population was upper middle class. Today, it's 30.4%. Mm-hmm. And this has happened you should come in and look at this. I mean, it gives you chills. It gives me chills. I love economic stuff. Just look at this. As tax rates have gone down slowly, particularly for the upper class, incomes for everybody else have gone up. And all they want to tell you, the gap is growing. There's some guys, some CEOs, maybe like 40 million. It's not fair. Okay. But what about everybody else though? Oh, everybody else's income's going up. So then we don't need to make it fair. We need to slash rates some more. So it's just fascinating to overlay the two and see when you slash tax rates, even for the wealthiest in this country, you cannot do that without making everybody else richer. Even if you were mean and grinchy and you wanted to, you can't. Slash tax rates for the rich, the upper middle class, you know, the upper classes and corporations, and everybody else gets richer every time. That's what happens. And they don't want you rich. The Democrats don't want you rich because you won't need them. You won't even listen to them.
Yeah. Because that's what this is about.
It's about them. It's not about you.
Yeah.
But these numbers are unbelievable. They're incredible. Do you remember, Lee, just even going into the tax cut debate with the Republicans and Democrats and everything, what did they scream? It's black people going to get hurt worse.
Right.
Poor people going to get hurt worse. Remember this? This was Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
This was dog do. Remember? This was doggy do. That they were serving was going to hurt the poorest among us. It was cruel. Well, the poorest among us are doing the best they've ever done in recorded American financial history. Why can't people understand this? Black unemployment fell to a record low in August.
Listen, Democrats completely understand that. That's why they are trying to hide the message. That's why they're lying about the economic record of this country.
They're screaming racism. They got nothing else.
Exactly. They got nothing.
If this is racism, let's have some more of it. Because black unemployment fell to a record low in August. The unemployment rate for black workers fell from 5.5% to 5.5% from 6%. The previous record low of 5.9% was May 2018. So basically, the two record lows for black unemployment were set by Donald J. Trump after the tax cuts.
Well, and that's white supremacy right there for
there,
you. Isn't it?
There you go, man. Back at white supremacist headquarters, they are freaking out. And they're starting to think about voting Democrat. You know what I mean? Because it's the way to keep people down. But what about Hispanic or Latino unemployment? Again, all-time historic low in August fell to 4.2%. Donald J. Trump, after the tax cut, corporate tax cut and personal tax cuts, the very tax cuts. Remember the Democrats said over and over and over. They were even telling poor people that their taxes were going to go up. remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're going
to
be poor.
Sorry, but you're not paying income taxes to begin with if you're poor.
Instead, what do we have? This mass movement of low-income people into the middle class and middle-class people into the upper middle class. So much so, it is shrinking the middle class because so many people are leaving the middle class and they're in the upper middle class now. What a disaster, right? Got to stop that. Oh, and by the way, they're running on reversing all this. I don't know how we aren't calling them the white supremacist. You're going to tell me you want to reverse the policies that have given Donald J. Trump not one, but two economic records, historical all-time low records for black unemployment. You want to reverse that? And your justification is this economy's not working for everybody? Do you know how racist that sounds? My God, if the parties were reversed, they'd be screaming racist. You want to reverse the economic policies that gave us the lowest ever black unemployment? Like, you could legit maybe make the argument that person was racist. Except they're Democrats, so nobody does. But they are.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You see this? More than half of teenagers say they're afraid and angry about climate change. And this Kaiser Family Foundation survey with the Washington Post, more than half, they're freaked, man. Over half feel angry and motivated because the world's burning up. God, people. Somebody just please report the truth for once. That NOAA has not detected significant warming since 2004. When they moved the climate sensors out of industrial areas that are naturally hotter and into uncivilized areas. There's nothing happening here, folks. There's nothing going on. Man, they got them so hepped up. This is these teachers. I've seen this propaganda. It comes home from school, even the Greenville County schools. My kids are trained now. They bring it home and we all laugh at it together. But I'm worried the other kids, they're reading the stuff. They really think the polar bears are dying. They really think that the end is near. And it's probably because of stuff like this. Did you hear? This is Elizabeth. Listen to this hysterical crap. The climate is not warming because of man's activity. It's actually cooling slightly, the NOAA data found.
Because giant corporations have bought off our government. Americans are killed by floods and fires in a rapidly warming planet. Why? Because huge fossil fuel corporations have bought off our government. Now, Americans disagree on many things. But we don't want each other's homes burned down by wildfires.
Oh, come on.
What we want is for our government to do something.
The wildfires in California were caused by the failure to remove brush, not climate change. That was a government-made, a man-made disaster. They just lie. But folks, I'm telling you, the price of electing them is catastrophic. Did you see what they're proposing right now? Oh, Lee's going to flip when I tell him about this. He's back in the newsroom. They want to pass laws. Elizabeth Warren just proposed this. That will allow regular people like you and I to sue energy companies into bankruptcy for rising sea levels and melting ice caps. Currently, it is hard to do that, to show personal damage under the existing rules. They want to change them. So you, I, whoever's enraged, whoever's third grade teacher told them the polar bears were dying, they can sue these companies. And, oh, they want to provide these people free lawyers, too, to bankrupt the energy companies. Access to the court, she said, is fundamental for Americans to hold polluters accountable. She's talking about carbon gases, not pollution. We don't like pollution. I mean, I don't want anybody ruining our streams and creeks and rivers. That's not what we're talking about here. They're talking about carbon. Access to the courts is fundamental for Americans to hold polluters accountable. Her climate plan states by statutorily reinforcing standards for those standing for those harmed by pollution and strengthening council access provisions. We can protect access to the courts for citizens, blah, 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 seeking restitution for environmental and climate change damages. So basically what they want is class action lawsuits where people get paid because somebody fracked and drilled for oil. Sanders is worse. He's proposing jailing and criminally prosecuting energy executives for the destruction they have knowingly caused, Sanders tweeted in August. The idea is to bankrupt these companies with payouts to Democrat attorneys. Folks, this is terrifying. Let me ask you a question, okay? Just as of last week, they promised, what did they promise last week? Remember last week they were going to shut down fracking, coal mining, no nuclear energy, right? No sale of our energy abroad. Who's that benefit? Russia. Benefits Russia. Russia, man, Russia is like, oh yeah, I am so voting Democrat. Who else is that emboldened in power? OPEC. See, we're in the driver's seat now. They're not. They used to call the shots on oil prices. Now we do. So just with the amount we produce in Texas alone, we are more powerful than OPEC. See, they want to get rid of that. And they want to put people who want to kill us in charge and the Russians. Talk about a Russian conspiracy. There is nothing you could do to help the Russians more than decimating our energy industry. And that's exactly what they're proposing. This is the crazy part.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
So we're told snowfalls will soon be a thing of the past, except it's technically summer still, and the snow is falling in the Sierra along the California-Nevada line. You gotta love these people. All right. Yesterday, I had to tell you what, the New York Times and the FBI meant to take out a hit on the Supreme Court. By the way, the FBI is expanding the coup to the Supreme Court, just so you know. So they're now Coup Incorporated. Yeah, this wasn't just a hit by the New York Times. This was a hit by the FBI, too, on Brett Kavanaugh, with the goal of intimidating not just Kavanaugh, but the entire court into voting in a way that the Democrats and the FBI, but then I repeat myself, want. I'll explain that part in a minute. But first, let's break it down. I started with Trump yesterday in New Mexico. But believe me, this was a gift to him. He loves this. They just gave him de facto concrete proof that they deliberately create fake news. Even MSNBC said so, which is absolutely stunning. We'll get to all that in a minute, but let me start here. Here's Trump yesterday at the rally.
Did you see the New York Times? Did you see what they're doing? Did you see what Democrats? They're calling for his resignation. They're calling for his impeachment. And the woman involved said she didn't know anything. She does, but they still. So the New York Times had to put out a major apology, and they had to change their story. The woman said, I don't remember that. Okay, and they still want him to be impeached. I call for the resignation of everybody at the New York Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear story. And while you're at it, they've taken the old gray lady, do you know the New York Times for years? The old gray lady, so prestigious. They've taken the old great lady and broken her down, destroyed her virtue, and ruined her reputation.
Yep. Okay. For those of you trying to follow all this, it's confusing. I'm going to explain it in 30 seconds. Two New York Times reporters wrote a book about Kavanaugh. And in that book, they admitted that this new accuser not only will not return their phone calls, but all her friends say she can't remember being groped by Kavanaugh. That didn't make it into the New York Times hit piece on Saturday. Here's what else didn't make it, but it was in the book. Max Speier, the new accuser, he says, oh yeah, I totally saw Kavanaugh with his pants down around his legs. You wouldn't believe what he was doing with his wee-wee. The new accuser, Yeah, they kind of forgot to mention he's a Hillary Clinton attorney. And so was Kavanaugh was an attorney during the impeachment for the other side. So Max Speier worked for Bill Clinton during the impeachment. Kavanaugh was on the other side. Kind of important to mention, they sort of didn't. I mean, that is, it leaves me speechless. When even Joe Scarborough on MSNBC is appalled, you know something's wrong. Now, Joe is not appalled because he believes in journalistic ethics. Believe me. He's appalled because they went so far that it makes the left look bad.
Why is there this glaring omission in the New York Times story? There were Molly Hemingway and others on Twitter were saying that, in fact, she had no recollection of this happening, and her friends were saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not believe the New York Times would write this piece without that information contained in it. Are you surprised? 24 hours? What was it? 24 hours went by before they clarified that fact? And
yeah, it's bad. Now, why is it bad? Joe and Meek are freaking out. Because you don't want your fake news too fake. Because if it's too fake, I mean, you know, you ever seen spam next to him? It starts to become a little obvious, right?
I would just caution Democrats to call Claire McCaskill and talk to her and ask her how that worked for her and other Democratic Senate candidates.
Again, folks, this is MSNBC.
In 2018.
And in terms of politics, this may have been an important story to cover and to watch and to feel deeply about during the Christine Blasey Ford hearings, but it didn't work for the Democrats. And here we go again. Here's how 2020 Democrats are responding. Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Julian Castro have all called for Kavanaugh to be impeached, while Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar have called for further investigation. That's where personally I think they should be. We don't have all the information.
So they MSNBC hauled in the two New York Times reporters. Lawrence O'Donnell grills them. Dude, ladies, how'd you leave these details out? They were kind of important. Like, I mean, you're saying you got a new attack, but the victim won't talk to you, and her friend says she don't remember it. And they say, oh, yeah, we totally put that in the article. Wait, you did? Yeah, we did. Well, why wasn't it in the paper? Our editors took it out. They took it out? Yeah, they, like, totally took it out.
Were you involved in the decision to amend this and do the correction on or the addition online to the piece?
We discussed it. Yeah, I mean, we think we felt like this. There was so much heat. You know, there's so much, everyone has been kind of seizing on various aspects of this that we certainly didn't want this to be an issue anymore. And we certainly never intended to mislead in any way.
Okay. How did they make this mistake? They kind of took the part out with the victim, like, you know, doesn't want to talk to them and all her friends talk to them and say, hey, it never happened. She can't remember it. How'd that get messed up?
In your draft of the article, did it include those words that have since been added to the article?
It did.
So somewhere in the editing process, those words were trimmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened actually was that, you know, we had her name and you know, the Times doesn't usually include the name of the victim. And so I think in this case, the editors felt like maybe it was probably better to remove it. And in removing her name, they removed the other reference to the fact that she didn't remember
it. Okay, so the way in your draft for the Times, you used basically the exact words that are in the book that I deliberately left off the name because that passage begins with the name.
Yes.
And so in their removal of the name, they ended up removing
the whole
what
sentence.
Follows it.
Yes. And I mean, so I think it was just sort of an editing, you know, done in the haste in the editing process, as you know.
Only the most important part of the article, you know, the part where, well, see, here's the thing. Does she need to be protected if she won't talk to you and her friends say it didn't happen? There was no sexual assault. Well, then, I mean, duh. Why would you need to protect her name? There wasn't a sexual assault. So you deleted the part where there wasn't a sexual assault. Totally like by accident. You know, in the piece claiming there was a sexual assault, you deleted the part that said that there was no sexual assault. By accident. You know what's interesting about this? They don't mention how they forgot to report the part or who removed the part about Max Speier being a Hillary Clinton attorney. Or, well, a Clinton attorney. He was actually Bill's attorney. They don't mention that. And that got removed too. Strangely, two things that would have killed their story didn't make the story. What are the odds? Texture 880. The real question is, why was the story about Kavanaugh run if the alleged victim denies it? They didn't think they'd get caught. The two reporters who wrote it, their book isn't out. And by the way, their book is devastating. Their book rips apart the Kavanaugh lie. But believe it or not, they don't mean to. It's just very thorough. Leland Kaiser is interviewed in there. Remember the female friend of Christine Blah Blah Ford? And in it, Kaiser says Blah Blah, it didn't happen. She doesn't believe it. It's the strongest statement she's made so far. Because remember, Blah Blah Ford said Kaiser was there. And Kaiser's like, look, dude, no, I wasn't there. Party never happened. All of the five witnesses said the same thing. Party never happened. I wasn't there. It didn't happen. She went a step further and said the whole Kavanaugh thing didn't happen. She doesn't believe it. And she's a good friend of Christine Blah Blah Ford. That didn't make the cut, New York Times. You know, along with the fact that the new victim can't be contacted and her friends say it didn't happen. But see, what the editors were counting on when they took that out of the piece was that that book isn't published yet. Hasn't been released. Molly Hemingway with Fox News happened to get an advanced copy of it. Nobody knew she had it. And she was like, dude, y'all didn't include these facts in your story, but they're in your book. So now the two New York Times reporters have come out and they're like, yeah, our editors took it out. Wow, okay. That tells you everything you need to know. By the way, you trolls who like to contradict me, oh, you're telling lies again on the text line. So New York Times reporter, don't you ever hold that newspaper in my face again and tell me the New York Times reported. Don't do it. It's fake. It's a lie. We have caught the editors dead to rights lying. The editors of the New York Times created fake news. We got them dead to rights. Don't ever tell me I'm wrong, the New York Times says. That is a piece of trash you're holding. Throw it out. Honest to God, I'm more interested in hearing what the National Enquirer says. I've never caught them fabricating news. They may do it, but I've never caught them. Texter writes, yeah, see, this texter's nailing it. That article was run to send a message to Kavanaugh, just like they got to Roberts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an FBI hit, folks. You know how you know? There's a line in the book. This is what everybody's missing. Where did they go to get the Max Spire story? Who had it? Who had Max Spire gone to? FBI. It refers to officials who gave them gave them the story and confirmed it. Who were the only people who interviewed him were the FBI. This is an FBI hit. In concert with the New York Times, this is much theirs. This is a desperate move to intimidate the members of the U.S. Supreme Court into voting the way the Democrats want. And the Democrats spelled it out explicitly in their friend of the court brief that I told you about. When they threatened to wipe out the current Supreme Court, get rid of the justices, if they didn't vote against gun rights in a recent decision. This is the backdoor method of intimidation. That was the front door one.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.